Hey everybody, this is Michael and you're listening to Conversations with a Recovering Loan Officer, the show that is designed to help loan officers grow their mortgage business. We talk to top producers, marketing experts, and other inspiring people whose experience can help you reach your goals in less time.
Someone told me that I would have some type of a good career, not be on call at 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. So you have to do that now. I struggled with that my first 6 months. I coached the men for 1 year, and then I coached the women's. No one ever told me that I could get a home. You've changed the course of my entire family's life. That is the cool piece.
So are you seeing, though, your skills, right, as a coach? That's a hard job. You're dealing with psychological, emotional, competitive. Are you seeing those skills play out well in your mortgage career?
100%. The only thing initially what I struggled with was...
Hey guys, Michael here from Conversations with a Recovering Loan Officer, and today I'm joined by Coach Kyren Stokes. Great backstory. You're like the newest loan officer we've actually ever interviewed, but I love your story.
Really?
And your grind. It shows that this market doesn't have to define who you are or the business you go after. Introduce yourself for us.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you having me, for sure. Like I said, Kyren Stokes, I am originally from the Dallas area. Moved out here to Oklahoma to play basketball. I did that, met my wife here. We got married pretty quick after we graduated. Really got into the coaching business right after that. So I coached men for 1 year, and then I coached the women's at a university here in Oklahoma. And then decided it was time, well, I say decided, but fast forward about 11 years and 4 kids later, we decided that, you know, coaching is, I love it, but I was gone just too much. And every bit of me loves being husband, loves being a dad and being there for my children. And it was time to do something different. And so did not know I was going to land in this space at all. Was not looking for it. And someone told me that I would have some type of a good career. Just look into it. And so I believed them. Here we are.
So are you seeing, though, your skills, right, as a coach? I mean, that's a hard job. You're dealing with psychological, emotional, competitive, and in your case, youth, which is even like another layer of challenging on top of that.
Yeah.
Are you seeing those skills play out well in your mortgage career?
100%. You know, I'd tell people, I was like, yeah, I coached women's basketball before at the college. I'm like, how did you get into this? I was like, it's funny that you asked because I really don't know. It just happened that I got into the business. No one goes to school and say, hey, I want to be a loan officer. I didn't even know what that was up until about a year and a half ago. But all of the tools from managing expectations, the psychology part of it, the coaching part, I was always on call, kind of like how I am now, kind of different. But I think if you can be likable and you can be trustworthy, and you can earn that, it goes a long way. So just like in sports, to where a kid's going to run through a brick wall for you as long as they know that they can trust you. And it's the same way with my borrowers, with realtor partners. If you can show, I tell people, what you see is what you get. Like we were on here talking before, my dogs are all going crazy. I got 4 kids. I got chickens. It's crazy around here. I tell people, if you call me, just know my kid may pick up the phone. I might pick it up. I might be doing something. I'm just busy at that time, but I'm going to let you know, hey, I'll get it done. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll get it done. And so I let people know that up front. The great thing about this is that we can work with who we want to. And that's just the really cool part of this business is that I've met so many good people to where they're truly in it to help put someone in a position that's going to better their family and then also generations after that. Of course, we're making money. That's a no-brainer, but it's really cool when you see people who will go that extra step because that's what they're called to do.
So you got introduced to the idea of you can pick who you work with a lot earlier than me, man. For the first 5 years of my career, I was just like anyone that would give me a loan, anyone that would give me a loan. And so I love that you found that you can sort of pick your tribe, the people that you're working with, and like that they have to understand that your 4 kids are going to be jumping in the pool and chasing chickens and your dogs are going to be barking. man, I wish I had found out a year and a half is how long you've been in the industry. Mm-hmm. I wish I'd found out that soon, for sure.
Yeah, my boss, he told me, he said, look, set whatever you want later. I mean, you're going to be successful. But if you want to be able to answer the phone when you want to, not be on call at 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, so you have to do that now. I struggled with that my first 6 months. About 6 months, to the point to where my wife was like, hey, remember what he said. You're doing everything that he said not to do. And I was just like, okay, well, and I still struggle with it at times. But for the most part, I really try and save. It's like, hey, if I'm not working right now, I am not. I will text them. I will let them know, hey, I'll get on to it after I put kids down, go to bed, all that stuff. Because sometimes some things can't wait, or you're just going to lose out on it. But for the most part, I've set that to where, like, hey, I need about 30, 40 minutes, and then I can get it to you. I usually ask, like, is this a flat-out emergency, or can you give me some time? And they usually just say, oh, yeah, it doesn't. You can get it back to me tonight. Perfect. Lines of communication. If you can't talk to people and you can't give them an expectation, then people just assume that you're going to do it right this moment. And they need it right now when some things can wait.
Yeah, that's right. And they won't feel like, if they can wait, they're not going to feel like you're not serving them completely. You communicated that. Actually, I think that's actually a really good skill set. How did your coaching, like, so we shared a little bit of that background, the coaching side of things. How did your coaching prepare you, not necessarily with the kids, but just like with your daily activities? How did it prepare you for being a loan officer?
Well, you know that the NCAA is very, you gotta, if you're working out for a certain amount of time, like we have to log how often you work out, how often you're like in the weight room with a coach and all these things, to where there's just a discipline aspect to it. There's order. And so for me, that kind of just translated because I've always been that way. I played for one of the Suttons. So Eddie Sutton's son, that's who I played for. At any given time, we could have all three coaches in there. And those are, if you know anything about Sutton, Eddie Sutton, he doesn't play around. And so for me, I've always had that high standard for myself, but then always had someone to where I want to please as well. And so I've always had that type of order. Now, yes, my wife, she'd probably tell you something different when it comes to stuff around the house.
Sure.
But I think it just translated easily. With sports in general, if once you get to that, you don't make it to that point without having some type of discipline and extreme focus. And for me, that extreme focus can be my downfall too at times, but it just translates.
Yeah, so it prepared you by basically giving you the discipline, right? Ordered mindset and activities to achieve a goal. But you'd mentioned something else post interview, which I thought was really interesting. And that was that, like, the recruiting process of being a coach really helped you get where you are today.
Yeah. So, you know, you said you coached golf. And I think it's pretty early, but for us, I would recruit a kid. I would see them like in eighth grade. And so, you know, there's rules to where we can't really have that communication. But you can in a way too. So I started early, and it's just a matter of, I had to talk to an eighth grade or a ninth grade kid who really doesn't want to talk. They're shy. You know, they're just starting through the process. And then you couple that with, you got to talk to their parents. You're talking to coaches, all these different types of personalities. But you have to hit every one of them. You have to have some type of system. You have to know, first of all, you prospect and you see, okay, I have these kids who are talented and all this. I have backups. I have everything that just getting prepared, but you have to have some type of plan. Like, so it literally, I look at it as, when I'm talking to realtors, it's recruiting for me. I'm not going to get a kid to come to my university off of one conversation. It's going to take multiple conversations. It may take me visiting, sitting down with them. It may take, and you know how it is, a lot of things come up, and then you add other factors from other people who were trying to recruit them as well. So it just put me in a position to be okay with the word no, because it's not no to me, Kyron, you're a bad person. It's no, not right now. No, I don't want this at the moment. So I don't take any of that stuff personally. I can hear no all day because I know I'm going to get a yes eventually.
Yeah, it's like I hate to say it's very cliche, right? But it is a bit of a numbers game. But there's also like a factor where you can hear no, like you said, no right now, but you're talking to a ninth grader. Mm-hmm. Well, they really can't even come play for you for 4 years.
Exactly.
So this is a process. It's like being around when they think, oh, I'm going to go to school. Now I'm in 11th grade. Oh, yeah. Stuff's getting real. You know, I got to start thinking about my future. With realtors, it's kind of the same deal, right? So a deal blows up, their loan officer drops the ball, but you've been consistently reaching out. Mm-hmm. That turns into a yes. And I think that's what you meant by that. And I love that mindset. And that is one of the things most loan officers I see, you know, and I'd managed a branch of 50 loan officers and then fired all of them. I couldn't handle the management side of it and just like opened up my own shop and focused on myself, my own production. But hearing no is like oftentimes it's just taken so personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you just said like you're geared up this month to close 9 deals a year and a half in a market where most people are, their production's going south. Mm-hmm. So that must feel pretty good.
Yeah. It's, I'm excited about it. It's everything that I've been doing I want to be and chase our top guys in the office. In which we all say the same stuff, and I'm comparing myself to them, and we all have our different personalities, but I learned real quickly that what I'm doing, I can't compare it to someone who's been in the business for 20 years.
Right.
And the relationships that they have. Like I came in with only my relationships, and that's in my coaching world. Yes, that's plenty. And I didn't know that I could leverage my relationships as well, but I came in just like, okay, I got to start meeting people and start with who I know, who's a realtor and all this stuff, get my name out there. I wish I would have started doing social media earlier. I knew what the power of social media, because I started when I was coaching, our Twitter, our Instagram, when I started that through the program, and I knew how powerful it was. But in this space, I still felt like I needed to learn, you know, then you have the imposter syndrome and all these things. So yeah, I'm at a point now, just telling this to someone else, I'm at a point now to where I'm confident. I've always been confident, but you can fake it till you make it sometimes. I'm confident that I can structure a loan and do all of that. So now it's some of the people that I was going after months ago, probably shouldn't have been. I wasn't ready for it. Now I can fully walk in and it's like, hey, let's work together. Or I at least put myself in a position to, if someone drops the ball, I'd be that second opinion, that guy to where they know that they're getting someone who's pretty genuine. And at the end of the day, yes, I want to get paid, but I truly enjoy having the conversations like, Kyron, no one ever told me that I could get a home. You've changed the course of my entire family's life. That is the cool piece. That's where my heart is at, to where I love to serve sort of people. That's kind of our background, my family and I, my wife, that's what we do.
Love it. That's awesome. So when you got into the industry, right, you had to start somewhere. So it sounds like you fell in with a group of loan officers that's supportive, which mm-hmm. is good. It doesn't always happen that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what activities did you start pursuing in order to get to where now you don't feel like you have imposter syndrome, right? Because 18 months is not a long time for a loan officer to ramp up not only production, but confidence and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Or what were your daily activities like for the first, let's say, 6 months?
First 6 months, I made cold calls. I called people like crazy. Being on the phone, it wasn't hard for me. It's not hard to get on the phone because I had to call ninth graders and try and pull something out of them to have some type of conversation. The only thing initially what I struggled with was, like, man, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't have a full sense of, you know, loan products and all these things. My boss just told me, he said, bring it in the door. We can figure everything out after that. It's like you can't mess up too bad to where we can't fix it or figure it out. But his biggest thing for me was, hey, go out there so you can bring something in so we can work on this case by case. And instead of going through like a training, like the best training is going out and figuring it out. So Mondays I called until I was getting applications. Monday, Tuesdays, I had a list, called people, and then I got out a little bit, but I figured really quick that it's not my cup of tea. Like, I'm a huge introvert who knows how to act like an extrovert. So I would much rather have like that one-on-one. But Monday, Tuesday, went like Monday through Thursday, I was on the phone in the mornings and then setting up coffee appointments for the afternoons, like late morning to afternoon. So that's what I did religiously. I'd try and call 50 people a day. Got to a point to where I use like phone burner, different programs to where I can run through calls, and I had my little script and met people and talked with folks. But that's what I did majority of the time. Really, that's it. And then once files came in, you know, I updated people, just really was big on communication. Still am big on communication, but that's how I literally just picked up the phone. That's how I started to get files through the door.
Those activities are so hard, especially as you're like still trying to learn the business, right? You get a question, you don't know an answer. So you were probably doing something simultaneously along with the activity of like outreach and sales to grow your knowledge as a loan officer. What were those things?
So I would sit in with guys who already had the files, and I'd just kind of hover over them. I listened to their conversations, what they were talking about, how to do like a discovery call, that first intro call with a client. And then from there, I really just started working on files. Right? So some files came through, and I was literally in my boss's office because he's who my mentor. I just sat there, and if he was working on something, I worked on it with him. And he would work through a file with me, and he would let me just go solo. And it was like, okay, this is not right, but we can fix this. Here, this is good. Did you do this? I still do that now. I meet with him each week for an hour just to go over files, make sure, because like I said, I'm confident, but at the same time, there's just still things that I don't know just from only being in the business for a year and a half. So yeah, it was not trial by error. It was just, hey, you got to do it. That's all. That's the only way that you're going to learn is by doing it. You can read guidelines all day, but you have to figure out how to structure.
That's trial by fire. You know, which is good, right? Because that's when competitive people that have that discipline, that's when they pull through. You know, there's this funny, not a funny, but it's this interesting philosophy regarding like competitive nature. So my son's a very competitive like mountain biker. It's a rough sport. It's a very dangerous sport. And, you know, he's been just struggling in the last year. He's had a couple of races where he had he fell and had to withdraw from the race.
Wow.
And so we've been like discussing it. And what we found out is that when you're in a competitive environment, I think a lot of people expect that you rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. But the reality is you don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like you were in there to get reps so that when game time was there and you had the meeting with a big realtor, somebody who was willing to give you their time, that you would actually be able to execute on what you needed to.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing.
Yeah. It's the good thing was for me is when I was meeting, having these coffee meetings, I never had any intentions to talk about loan programs or anything like that. That's what I think got me by, because like, I'm not going to go and just talk about, because I barely know myself. It was just really just trying to get to know them as a person, what they're wanting to do, what they're wanting to do for the rest of the year, what's their goals for the next year. Then also let them kind of into my world a little bit. But I'm a big investigator. I'm going to ask questions. And then from there, I'm going to ask questions to those questions just so I can get you talking and listen to, you know, some of your pain points and then some of the things that, you know, that's going good for you. So that's what I focused on all of my meetings, just meeting with realtors to really just understand what they're trying to get out of it and why they're in their business for the first, you know, why they got into it.
That's actually such a powerful tactic, because most loan officers who are experienced, they want to overwhelm and impress a potential prospect with their experience and knowledge mm-hmm. of the mortgage side. What I've found, and I've met with hundreds of realtors and was married to a realtor for 15 years, and I've got reps on that side. What I found is that they don't care.
Yeah.
They just don't care how much you know. They just want to know if you can close the loan and like if they can trust you. And the only way to build trust is to have a personal relationship. Yep. And the only way to have a personal relationship is to ask questions about them and their goals and to care genuinely about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so I think not knowing, like, it actually puts you in a uniquely good position to prospect for realtor partners, because you had to lean on relationship building and not product knowledge guru status.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I think, not my biggest advantage. And I said this early. I was like, man, I know rates are high, whatever, it is what it is. But my biggest advantage is that I don't have any formed habits of, you know, maybe when, you know, the boom and everything was going crazy and you didn't keep up communication with realtors, all these things. Like, I don't have those bad habits. And so now it's like, okay, you can form the habits that you want for later on when things go crazy. It's like, I'm going to just have great communication, because that's what everyone says was lacking, and then just follow up, because that's what people were lacking. And I'm like, okay, if I do those things, that should be at least somewhat okay. And put my personality into it. And that's where you can become likable and trustworthy, and people give you a shot.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love that. So, you know, you've got, like, that's the past, but you have a future in the industry, and you seem really pumped up about it, excited about the opportunity that the mortgage industry is going to give you. Well, let's just start by that. Like, what is it that you love so far about this job?
I love that I get to really change the course of someone's life. If how they're looking at it, they look at it that way to where, you know, I could leave this at some point for my children. I can stay in this for 10 years, sell it, buy a bigger home, also give money, maybe give a down payment to my children. Like, so this is it's not just about right now for that person. It's a course of you can leave something behind. Also, I found out that in the industry, not a lot of people look like me in this industry. And so younger black guy, everyone is mid 45s to 50s, white males. So there's room there, but I just figured it's like, this is a great industry. And again, there's just not a lot of people that look like myself, the younger type. Right. I've sat in Zoom meetings, like networks and different LOs and all this stuff. And I'm like, they're talking about all these things, what you can do now and all this stuff. And I'm like, everyone here is like 15 to 20 years older than me. And yes, this works, but we're also missing this piece too, because the next group of buyers are younger than myself.
Yep.
So what are you doing? How are you positioning yourself to gain those buyers as well? And so yeah, I'm just looking forward to, I want to see what happens when things get easy, because my goal is to still do the things that were hard. Following up, calling, being there, just doing it like interest rates are super high, and kind of see what that will look like. Because right now I have no clue. I can't even imagine what it will look like.
Well, systems are going to be the key to your success and like staying sane and like being able to still be there for your systems and people, you know, if you surround yourself with good people. Like a little bit of my history, like when I was 20 in 2012, ish, I was like 6 years in, I got to the point where I didn't have a personal life anymore. And I, you know, I've got 5 kids myself, and I wasn't able to spend time with them.
Yeah.
You know, like we went on vacation and I was like in the car taking applications and like sending out pre-approval letters and doing all this stuff. It was like, and my wife was at the time was like, hey, listen, solve the problem, because like they need a dad. We're on vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God, okay. So that's when I started like reading books like 4-Hour Work Week and, you know, just books like that to help me sort of get my mind right around what this about like building a business as opposed to sort of being reactive. I wanted to play offense in my mortgage business. And so that allowed me to start like, okay, I got to pull back and figure out. So like right now you're in a position where like 5 to 7 to 9 loans a month is still enough to keep you busy, but you have time to focus in on like asking yourself the question, that was frustrating. Like, how would I manage that if I was doing 3 times the amount of loans? Mm-hmm. And okay, so systems, process, people, boom, 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 get it all dialed in. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like, you know, you've got some big hitters in your office that have been there. And so you've got people that can help with that. So yeah, man, it's a great industry for sure. And I think you got the right mindset for it. 100%. I'm not surprised you were recruited the way you were. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So what is your plan then moving forward? I mean, like, let's just assume the market stays the way it is. I mean, what are your goals?
I haven't hit that 2 million mark yet in a month. I'm wanting to do that for a number of reasons, but I really want to get there, and I want to be one of the rookies, the quickest rookies in our company to do it. I have another LO. She's good. And we actually took our test right around the same time. She's a good friend of mine. And so it's that competitiveness as well, but I want to do that. Honestly, I am putting myself in a position trying to build the brand of Kyren the loan officer and what that looks like. So I've dived into social media pretty heavy in the last 60 to 90 days. That has been interesting in itself, but that works. And I no one can tell me differently that the power of social media and what it can do to prospect for you, to keep you top of mind, to get you new leads, organic leads, all of it works. It's just a matter of, can you do it consistently, still run your business and all of that, but use it effectively to be consistent and putting stuff out there. So I want to be one of the top guys in our offices. I know saying that after a year and a half is crazy, but I want to do it. And so that's what I'm striving to do. I also want to do it in a way to where I pick up my kids every morning or every day from school. I leave the office I literally work about 5 minutes. So I leave to go pick them up. I'll have on wheel, you know, whether we have gymnastics or basketball, whatever it is. And then I'm home. And then I also book off enough time to where I work in the evenings a little bit, depending on how necessary it is. But that's what I want to be able to do that for the rest of my life. Well, I want to pick up my kids. If we want to go live somewhere for a month at a time, I want to be able to do that. And so what you said earlier about the process and put in, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm having those conversations with my boss, and we meet every Wednesday. It's like, okay, what are you doing? Because again, like I told you, it's going to get crazy for you at some point.
Yeah.
What are you going to do so it doesn't drive you crazy when it gets to that point? So I have a great team. My processor, she's phenomenal. I give her and my loan partner all of the credit. I'm like, everyone says, thank you, Kyren, and all this stuff. I'm like, look, it's those two who make it go because they're amazing.
Yeah, your role, I mean, like, and that's, I don't know if this is how you see it, but your role is like, you know, the hunter. Go out there and get the deals, create the relationships, maintain, build the trust, maybe like early stage. Are you just doing like early stage customer conversations and then handing it off to your team, or how's it structured?
It's structured to where I bring in, have those conversations. I do the handoff once we get that contract and everything after I've locked and all of that. But honestly, I stay in touch with them. I call them at least once a week. And I like it just because I can prep them for referrals. I can prep them for a Google review, but I like that piece of, hey, here's where we're at. I also jump in when, if someone's not giving like a doc or anything like that, whatever I need to have those conversations. But I try and at least, whether it's a text, a video that I sent out, or an actual conversation, have that at least once a week to let them know what's going on. Hey, everything's all right. We're good. I'll call you next week.
You mentioned video, and like, I'm assuming my social media is, today more and more is becoming short form video content. Mm-hmm. So are you using like videos your primary method for communicating over social media, or?
So for social media, yes, I do a lot of reels. I do at least one a day. Sometimes I can get to two. Sometimes I've done three. I was sick last week and I did three, I think twice. But I do that because it's the best way for growth right now. Social media is a whole nother topic in itself. But
yeah,
I do a lot of happy birthday videos, send those out. Those are really easy. I do, when I go through, like, hey, the pre-approval process and all that, I will do a video then as well if we need to, because it doesn't cut out loan consultations. It just adds to it, in my opinion, to where they can also go back and see, and I can figure out if they open it up or not. And then I can always just shoot them a text. Hey, just thinking about you. I hope everything's going well. And are there any updates? Do you need anything from me? But I use video a lot for just about, if I can send a video, I will.
I think videos, not only for, in my opinion, it's easier to shoot a video. Like, it's easier, it's more authentic. And from a sales perspective, the reason I love videos so much is you're building a relationship with them, but you're doing it in a way that's not like, if you were to call or to bring them into the office, like, that's relationship building and maybe more deep. You're doing that too, right? You're having those conversations, which invite questions and, you know, answers. But the video is, in my opinion, it's a way to build a relationship with somebody without opening it up to a bunch of, like, work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I love video because it's sort of like, long-term, they're going to feel like they know who you are. And yeah. You don't get that from an email or a text. Yeah, you just don't feel the same way, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why social media is huge, to where people can get an idea of who you are and they can figure out if they like or trust you pretty quickly from that. And so if you have some content there in the bank there, to where they can go through and see you, see your family, kind of just get an idea of your personality, it makes that call really simple or easier. Like for me, I don't make cold calls anymore, because if I'm going to go after a realtor that I'm trying to do business with, I'm going to add them on social media and I'm going to let it sit there for a little bit. And then I'm going to reach out, because that's not a cold call anymore. I know they have seen my content. I've liked some of their stuff. I've commented on their stuff. There is a process to it, but they know or have an idea or seen my name. And now that's more of an introductory call instead of a completely, hey, why is this person calling me? And really, I do a lot of DMs too. I do that instead of, I went from strictly calling to doing some more of the DMs and voice memos in the DMs. That's a little tip or a little trick that works really well as well.
Do you pre-record some of those? Like, I mean, you have like a general message and send it to multiple people, or?
I don't. I just do. I'm really like shoot from the hip type deal. Now with my videos, I'm more strategic with that. I'm usually like two or three videos ahead. But when I'm doing, like, if I'm going to reach out to, I might wait till they post something like in a story, and whether if it's about a kid or a house that they did sold or closed on or whatever, that's where I'll either send a message or just say, hey, congrats, and send a video. And that's more of that, hey, I'm getting in there. Then they respond, and now we're engaging. And so from there, I usually don't try and just sell right there and then. I'm usually trying to have some type of back and forth. They've reached out and said something about, I don't know, maybe a post with one of my kids or something, and then kind of slide in, hey, would love to just have a chance to sit down, chat, and kind of talk about what you're doing in your business. I see you're super active on social media. And then from there, the floodgates open. They get the talk in and all of that. So it's a really good tool if you use it the right way to have those conversations. And we all know the more conversations you have, you know, the better chances you have for a loan to come through the door.
Yeah, for sure. Last question for you here. So you mentioned early on that, like, discipline plays a key role in, like, where you have gotten to where you've gotten, both on the coaching side and now on the mortgage side. Social media, I find, is like the easiest thing to quit of anything I've ever seen. Like, it's even easier than gym memberships. Like, people get super pumped up to post. They post for 3 days and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you keep yourself focused on the content creation process and make that commitment to doing that? Like, is there like time blocking? Is it just like inspirational driven? Is it just natural for you?
I will say that you're actually right. And it's really easy to just quit, because I think we're so in that instant noodle phase of our lives, instant oatmeal, to where we want everything quick.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as delayed gratification anymore. No one expects it, because we have everything at our fingertips. And so how I went into it was like, I challenged myself, for one, to where I'm like, hey, for 30 days, I'm going to post every day. That turned into, by week two, I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. Now, how do I take it to another level? And so I just continued to, I'm a big researcher too. If I don't know something, I'm going to figure it out. And with the social media aspect, there's one way of doing it. But if you're trying to like grow and get business from it, then there's another way of doing it. So you have to be a little bit strategic. But I just said I was going to do it. And then from there, I'm putting stuff out. And this is how I do things, to where I'm doing something with no expectation of any type of return. And so if I can post out content to where it brings value, and I'm not worried about the likes, I'm not worried about the view count, which it's harder said than done. But if I go with that mentality, then I'm only competing with myself. And that's where we get it mixed up, to where we stop doing something because we look to the left, we look to the right. Well, so-and-so's doing this. So-and-so has 200,000 followers, and you're not there yet. And so you can't compare yourself.
Right.
And at the day, if you just do it for yourself and to put out value for people you want to attract, it will happen, but it takes time. That's yep. all it is. And like I said, people want things done now and want it to be done right now. And so I did it. I almost stopped like three times. But then I remember the first call I had, or the first DM, someone wanted to buy a house. From there, it was realtors who opened the door to work together. It was a guy that I grew up with, played basketball with. We went to elementary together. I've not seen him since maybe 15 plus years. He's buying a home in Arizona, and he was like, hey, man, I'm not really understanding what my loan officer didn't explain this. What can you help me with this? That's what I want it to be. That's what I want to be, that resource, because that will eventually lead to leads. And so we sparked up that conversation. Like, we haven't, like, we've seen each other every week. It was nice to catch up with him, but it was also nice to make sure he closed on his home the following week, because he just wasn't sure if it was going to close or not. And so yeah. Once I started to kind of get that, I was like, okay, this stuff really does work. And I'm in contract with my first person who wanted to buy a home. They got into contract like 2 weeks ago, just from Instagram. And so yeah, it works. It's just a matter of, like anything, if you put the work in and if you're consistent, you'll see results. It's just a matter of what your expectation is.
Yeah, so sounds like, you know, you set an achievable short-term goal and then were able to kind of see a little bit of progress, and then that gave you the motivation to continue going. And then, so yeah, that's awesome. Any kind of like final thoughts or anything for the people listening to the show today?
Really, all I would say is like, don't allow anyone to tell you you can't do something. Just go out and figure it out. Like, I was really fortunate to have people in place to root me on, because I was at a point to where I told myself I couldn't do anything besides play basketball. I got 2 degrees. Like, I could go do a lot of things, but that self-doubt will trap you if you let it. And yeah. So you can do it. It's just a matter of how you're going to go about it, the research, but you can do anything that you can put your mind to. And I know that sounds cliche, but it is the God-spoken truth.
Love it. Coach Kyron, thanks for joining me today. It's been great chatting with you. Best of luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.